just settle back and reminisce a bit. What do you say, huh?
With a nostalgic nod toward the Atwater Kent, we now present Same Time, Same Station, a chronicle of broadcasting's first half century.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Tonight, Bing Crosby remembers radio, Chapter 2.
Learn to prove. You'll eliminate each rival soon. If you're heading for a sunny honeymoon, learn to cruise.
Hollywood, California. Bing Crosby entertains.
Radio career continues March 1935.
When your roundup days are over, there'll be pastures white with clover for you, old faithful Palomar.
The makers of Woodbury's facial soap for the skin you love to touch present Bing Crosby.
If I expected love when first we met, kiss, blame it on my youth. If only just for you I did exist, blame it on my youth. I believed in everything like a child of three. You meant more than anything all the world to me. If you were on my mind all night and day, blame it on my youth. If I forgot to eat and sleep and pray, blame it on my youth. If I cried a little bit when first I learned the truth, don't blame it on my heart, blame it on my youth.
Paul Whiteman celebrated his 20th year as the Dean of Modern American Music. You know, I was lucky enough to work for Paul during some of this period, and I'd kind of like you to listen now to one of the songs with which he first started New York. Georgie Stoll and the orchestra playing Japanese Sandman.
Thank you.
woman's complexion may not be the only important part of her attraction, but men seldom look twice at a girl who has permitted her skin to be marred by open pores, blackheads, oily shine, or coarse dryness. Tonight, we have asked Miss Janet Parker, Woodbury's well-known beauty consultant, to tell us why these blemishes occur and how to correct them. Miss Parker.
Every beauty specialist knows that the chief cause of common skin faults is neglect, and particularly neglect of the one fundamental essential to a fresh, clear complexion. The unpleasant fact is, many women do not get their skins really clean. Oh, I don't mean they're careless about bathing, but the methods they use just do not provide thorough, deep cleansing. And sometimes they even tend to clog the pores. Now, there are definite scientific reasons why Woodbury's facial soap does clear the pores of waste, embedded powder, and all trace of dirt. Woodbury's is more than just a dainty toilet soap. It is actually a complete beauty treatment created by a famous skin specialist to do two important things. First, its fine oils penetrate deep into the pores and loosen all foreign matter accumulated there. Then, other exclusive ingredients gently stimulate the tiny pore muscles to throw off obstructions that interfere with breathing. Did you know that your skin must be able to breathe to remain healthy and clear? And that's why women are often disappointed in the results they get from costly creams and lotions. Unless the pores are conditioned to receive the benefits of such preparations, you really might as well put them on a mask. So, no matter what your skin condition may be, its first and most vitally important need is a thorough pore cleansing provided by Woodbury's gently soothing formula. And in the majority of cases, this formula alone is all that is necessary to clear up and restore natural beauty to even advanced cases of common skin faults when used according to the special directions for each type of skin which are wrapped with each cake of Woodbury's. Thank you.
I know I was on for the Woodbury soap people. Probably three seasons in. Yeah.
I love your loving arms. They hold a world of charms, a place to nestle when I am lonely. A cozy Morris chair. Oh, what a happy pair. One caress, happiness, seems to bless my little honey. I love you more each day. When years have passed away, you'll find my love belongs to you only. Cause when the world seems wrong, I know that I belong right in my honey's loving arms. Oh, what a happy pair. One caress, happiness, seems to bless my little honey. I love you more each day. When years have passed away, you'll find my love belongs to you only. Cause when the world seems wrong, I know that I belong right in my honey's loving arms. Oh, when the world seems wrong, I know that I belong right in my honey's loving arms.
The voice Voices of the Mills Brothers with Bing Crosby.
I'd been at the New York Paramount with them for about 20 weeks, I guess it was, and also recorded for, it was a Decca, oh, Brunswick then, I guess. Made some records with them, Shine, and records of, three or four records I made with the Mills Brothers. So it was a natural for them to appear with us anytime we could get them.
Hear that whistle, there goes the bell. That means we're on our way. All aboard, boy, I'm feeling swell. This is my happy day. Have a wheel, you're mighty, mighty slow. That's why I keep on shouting, let her go.
Roll on, you Mississippi, roll on. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Come on, you lazy steamer, quit your stalling and move along. River, river, here we come. Watch her slow, boy, hear that engine humming, Molly. Take a look at that shore with the folks I adore. There's a spot round that bend. That's my home, my journey's end.
Come on, you old man river, come on.
Roll on, you Mississippi, roll New Orleans. Hello, bye-bye, New Orleans. Get along, going strong, Baton Rouge. Roll on, say, Captain, tell me what's the next big town we'll see. I'm so excited, I'm as happy as can be, oh. Roll on, you Mississippi, roll on. Come on, you lazy team, we'll move on. Stomp, ta-dum, 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 ta-dum. Clear that river, here we come. Watch her smoke, boy, hear that hum. Stomp, ta-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da
That's my home, my journey's end.
There we come.
Doggone you, old man river, come on. Move on, you lazy steamer, move on. Roll on, you Mississippi, roll on. You Mississippi, roll on.
And the Boswell sisters, back Bing on many Woodbury Hour broadcasts.
There, too, the same situation. And they were in the big broadcast, which was the first feature picture I was in for Paramount in 1930 or 31. After I'd been on the CBS radio for a while and had been playing the theaters in the East, they put together a picture with all the leading people on the different networks. We had Burns and Allen and Kate Smith and Morton Downey and the Street Singer and the Mills Brothers and the Boswell Sisters and myself. And they wove a little story around it, and they made a romantic situation between myself and a leading lady named Lila Hyams. And it was a very successful picture. So anytime we had any chance, we got the Boswell Sisters or the Mills Brothers because we had the material available that we'd done in the movie or that we'd done on records.
Some of you may have seen Here Is My Heart, and if you did, you'll recall with pleasure a young lady who graced the film, namely Marion Mansfield. Well, she's here tonight and ready to sing the type of song that she really does best. What's the title, Marion?
Things Might Have Been So Different.
Oh, well, proceed.
My days go by in meditation, just reminiscing now and then. While I sigh in meditation, I find myself saying, again and again. Things might have been so different, different as night and day. If you hadn't said, I love you, just to have something to say. Things might have been so different, right from the very start. But you only wanted kisses, lips without any heart. Do roses ever remember? December may find them gone. So why should sweethearts remember that love's little amber may fade with the dawn? Things might have been so different. We'd still be friends today if you hadn't said, I love you, just to have something to say. Could sweethearts remember that love's little amber may fade with the dawn? Oh, things might have been so different. We'd still be friends today if you hadn't said, I love you, just to have something to say.
Very nice, Marion. I've had a couple of requests to repeat a song from my picture I'm in with Bill Fields and Joan Bennett, Mississippi, called Easy to Remember. Your sweet expression, the smile you gave me, the way you looked when we met. It's easy to remember, but so hard to forget. I hear you whisper, I'll always love you. I know it's over, and yet it's easy to remember, but so hard to forget. So I must dream to have your hand caress me, fingers press me tight. I'd rather dream than have that lonely feeling stealing through the night. Each little moment is clear before me, and though it brings me regret, it's easy to remember, but so hard to forget. Your sweet expression, the smile you gave me, the way you looked when we met, easy to remember, so hard to forget. I hear you whisper, I'll always love you. I know it's over, and yet easy to remember, not so hard to forget. So I must dream to have your hand
caress me, fingers press me tight. I'd rather dream than have that lonely feeling, feeling through the night. Each moment is clear before me, and though it brings me
Los Angeles, Profanchon and Marco conducted some of the theaters, pit orchestras, and he's a very good musician, quite gifted as a conductor. Later became head of the music department at MGM. And he was hepped on modern music, on the bands, the big bands. Very talented guy. He had the Woodbury Soap program, I'm quite sure you're right.
There's a man outside. Says he's one of your fans. He insists on seeing you. Shall I send him in?
Why, certainly, say. I'm always glad to see any of my fans.
All right.
Well, how are you? I'm glad to see you. How have you been?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you? Not that I'm particularly interested, but it makes conversation. How are you, one and all? Remember me?
Why, sure I remember you. Last time I saw you was in Pittsburgh.
No, I never was in Pittsburgh in my life.
Well, never mind. You're looking great, though. A little thinner, aren't you?
No, this is the stoutest I have ever been. You don't remember me.
Certainly I do. Don't you remember that week we were in Buffalo?
No, I don't. I never was in Buffalo.
Well, anyhow, you're looking great. But you took off that little stash you had, didn't you?
No, I didn't, because I never wore a mustache in my life. You don't remember me.
No, I guess I don't. I don't remember. Who are you?
I'm your brother John. When are you going to write home to Mama?
Oh, there you go. Always kidding. I know you all the time. You're Charlie Irwin. I knew your kisser was some interest.
Well, it ought to be. I've had it for years and years.
Well, it used to be sort of a tired face. You've had something done to it, haven't you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, now that you've brought it up, I had it lifted once, but dropped twice.
Well, how have you been? You know, I haven't seen you since that time on my vacation.
I wasn't there. What would I be doing on your vacation?
Well, there you again. What were you doing in California?
California? I thought this was Kansas City. I knew I should have got off that train 2 days ago.
Well, now that you're here, did you leave New York for arrest?
No, I left New York to avoid arrest.
Did your wife come with you?
Don't be silly.
How about your wife's mother?
Oh, she's up in Alaska. I sent her up there on a long vacation.
Isn't it awfully cold up in Alaska right now?
Why, certainly it's cold. Right now, it's 50 below zero.
Don't you think, you know what I mean, a lady of her age, don't you think the climate will disagree with her?
The climate disagree with my wife's mother? It wouldn't dare.
Well, no joking now, Charlie. What did you come out to California for?
Well, as a matter of fact, I came out here to watch the horses run at Santa Anita.
I like to see them run, too.
Yeah, but the trouble is, when I bet on them, they just go out for a little stroll. I bet on one nag there one day, if he hadn't speeded up a little bit in the stretch, he'd have won the next race. But I like those windows out there. You know, the windows, they're marked $2, $5, $10, $50, so forth and so on. And you go up to any one of these windows, and you purchase tickets on a horse. And then you tear them up. It's a game. You know, they have what they call the mutual system of betting. I've always been under the impression that that word mutual in the English language meant one for him, one for her, one for me. No, it's all for them.
But of course, Charlie, you must have bet on the winner of the big handicap.
Listen, Mr. Valley, I'm the only one who didn't bet on the winner of the handicap. I bet on the horse that ran last. I heard the owner talking to the jockey after the race. He gave him a terrible lacing. He said, why don't you obey my orders? I told you to give him his head in the back stretch. I told you to take him to the outside and move up with the leaders at the mile and turning into the stretch for home. Why didn't you go up there and join those other jockeys? And the jockey said, what, and leave the horse? Well, Mr. Valley, it certainly has been a great pleasure seeing you.
Mr. Valley, say, listen, who do you think I am?
Why, you're Rudy Valley. Oh, no, of course not. How could I make a mistake like that? Valley is much darker. And besides, he has a mustache. Well, you'll pardon me, Mr. Cantor. How do you think of all those jokes you tell on the radio?
Listen, my name isn't Cantor, and I don't tell jokes. I sing songs.
Oh, then you don't have to think.
Ouch.
Well, it's my mistake, Mr. Tibbet. You know, I have the most terrible memory for names. It's a family affliction. You know, I have a brother worse than any of us.
Oh, yeah? What's his name?
He won't tell us. Well, I'll be going now, and you must forgive me for not remembering your name. It's been on the tip of my tongue all evening, and it's the simplest name in the world to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jack Okay. Well, so long, Mr. Okay.
That was the unkindest cut of all. You may be surprised to learn that the most popular cowboy song of the day was written, introduced, and proved highly popular in England. Such is indeed the case, and it's proved equally popular over here.
Oh, faithful, we rode the range together. Oh, faithful, in every kind of weather, when your roundup days are over, there'll be pastures white with clover for you, oh, faithful pal of mine. Hurry up, old fella, 'cause the moon is yellow tonight. Hurry up, old fella, 'cause the moon is mellow and bright. There's a coyote howling to the moon above, so carry me back to the one I love. Hurry up, old fella, 'cause we gotta get home tonight. Oh, roundup days are old, there'll be pastures white with clover for you, oh, faithful Alma. Thank you.
every woman who is not entirely satisfied with her complexion to read carefully the booklet on skin care which is wrapped with each cake of Woodbury's facial soap. It is written by leading skin specialists and gives priceless information about how to correct and avoid the common types of skin blemishes. Of course, if you have any major skin fault, you must see a good dermatologist. But for ordinary conditions, such as large pores, blackheads, sallowness, oily shine, or dry skin and premature wrinkles, you will be delighted with the quick results and the lovely new skin beauty you will obtain by following the simple instructions enclosed with each cake of Woodbury's.
Thank you, Miss Parker. Woodbury's is sold by all drug, department, and 10-cent stores, and at your grocer's, too. Now, don't let its low price deceive you regarding its quality. At today's price of only 10 cents, Woodbury's is identically the same fine complexion soap that formerly sold for 25 cents. And the booklet on care and correction of common skin faults, which is wrapped with each cake of Woodbury's, is alone worth many times the small price of the soap. Try Woodbury's, and the skin you love to touch will be yours.
Here's a product of those outstanding tunesmiths, Al Dubin and Harry Warren, one I consider among the best day of fashion, Lullaby of Broadway.
Come on along and listen to the Lullaby of Broadway. Hipparay and ballyhoo, the Lullaby of Broadway. The rumble of a subway train, the rattle of the taxis. Daffodils who entertain, and Angelo's and Maxie's, where the Broadway baby says goodnight. It's early in the morning. Manhattan babies don't sleep tight until the dawn. Good night, baby. Good night. Milkman's on his way. Sleep tight, baby. Sleep time, let's call it a day. Come on along and listen to a Lullaby of Broadway. Idaho and Pugadoo, a Lullaby of Broadway. Band begins to go to town and everyone goes crazy. You rock a bye of baby round till everything gets hazy. Hush, you buy, I'll buy you this and that. You hear a daddy saying, baby goes home to her flat to sleep all day. Good night, baby. Good night, milkman's on his way. Sleep tight, baby. Sleep tight, let's call it a day. Oh, listen to the lullaby.
Tonight, you may try the famous Woodbury's facial soap and three other delightful beauty aids by sending for Woodbury's Loveliness Kit. This contains a guest-sized cake of the facial soap, tubes of the germ-free beauty creams, cold and facial, and all six shades of Woodbury's facial powder. Just send 10 cents in coin or stamps to cover cost of packing and mailing. Print your name and address on a slip of paper and send it to Woodbury's, Box 80. That's Box 80, Cincinnati, Ohio. Return mail will bring you your loveliness kit. Bing Crosby, Georgie Soule, and his orchestra will be with you again next Tuesday evening. Join us and hear Bing sing,
Clouds Floating Through the Night, Speaking of a Love That Was Heavenly, A Love That Could Never Be Mine.
Ken Nile speaking for the makers of Woodbury's facial soap.
Our special thanks to the members of Bing Crosby's radio family for supplying their memories, transcriptions, and time to our Crosby series. And our special thanks to Bing for his time and help. On these programs, you will hear the voices of Bing, John Scott Trotter, Perry Bodkin, Ken Carpenter, and Carol Carroll. In addition, Ed Rice of Whittier, one of the world's foremost collectors of Crosby memorabilia, has added many hard-to-find recorded items to this series. Of course, our usual thanks to the Pacific Pioneer Broadcasters for their help.
You are listening to Same Time, Same Station on KRLA, Pasadena. The radio career continues. January 1942.
Kraft Music Hall with Bing Crosby, Mary Martin, Victor Borge, Jerry Lester, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Music Maids and Hal, and Bing's guests for this evening, Madeline Carroll, star of the Paramount picture Bahama Passage, Igor Gorin, famous concert baritone, and Slammin' Sammy Sneed, one of the nation's most colorful golf pros. This evening, by special request of General MacArthur on Bataan Peninsula and Colonel Aiken on Corregidor, the Kraft Music Hall is being relayed by shortwave over a specially cleared channel to the American and Philippine fighting forces under their command. And here, with a salute to these great Americans, is Bing Crosby.
Over hill, over dale, we will hit the dusty trail, and those caissons go rolling along. Up and down, in and out, counter marching left about, and those caissons go rolling along. For it's high, high he in the field artillery. Shout out your woe loud and strong. For wherever you go, you will always know that those caissons go rolling along. The caissons go rolling along.
Yes, sir, the caissons keep rolling along and those 155s keep dishing it out. And another great adventure at arms is being carried on in the American tradition by General Douglas MacArthur, Colonel Aiken, Major General Valdez, Brigadier General Francisco, General Lim, and their fighting men on Bataan Peninsula and Corregidor. Here in the Old Kraft Music Hall, we consider ourselves honored to be able to get through to you men in the Philippines with a few tunes, a few wheezes, and maybe the general feel of what's going on here in the States. We being our guests, Madeline Carroll, Igor Gorin, and Sam Sneed, as well as the regular Kraft Music Hall group. Wonderful, isn't it, Mary, to think that we're going through to the Philippines?
Honestly, Ving, it's the most thrilling thing that ever happened to me.
Do you have any message for the men?
Well, they must know how the whole world of free people feels about them. But I do think they might like to know that all the old jokes about Crosby's horses have been forgotten.
Good, good.
In favor of a lot of old jokes about the lack of automobile tires.
Well, that figures, Mary. You know, as rubber tires go out, my Otenoyers get to look better and better.
I always thought your horses looked good.
Thank you.
Pulling a wagon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that about brings you men up to date on the gags situation. No change. This will bring you up to today's top two.
Pardon me, boss. Is that the Chattanooga choo-choo? Track 29. Boy, you can give me a shot. I can afford to board a Chattanooga choo-choo. I've got my fare, just a trifle to spare. You leave the Pennsylvania station by the quarter to four. Read a magazine and then you're in Baltimore. Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer than to have your ham and eggs in Carolina. Oh, when you hear the whistle blow an eighth to the bar, then you know the Tennessee is not very far. Shovel all the coal in, you got to keep it rolling. Woo-woo, Chattanooga, there you are.
Beats the Pennsylvania Dash about a quarter to four. Before you know it, you're in Baltimore.
Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer
than to have your ham and eggs in Carolina. When you hear the whistle blowing into the pie pan, you know that Tennessee is not very far.
Shovel all the coal in, gotta keep it rolling.
Woo woo, Chattanooga, there you are.
There's gonna be a certain party at the station. Satin and lace. Used to call the kid funny face. She's gonna cry until I tell her that I'll never roam. So, Chattanooga choo choo, won't you choo choo me home?
I will talk for just a moment in regard to the Kraft Music Hall and Bing Crosby.
Ken Carpenter.
With whom I was associated, let's see, from 1936 to 1962. I worked with Bing at various different shows. But the first one, the Kraft Music Hall, started in New York with Paul Whiteman's orchestra. And they would cut Bing in from Hollywood. Just to switch networks, turn the network around, cut him in for his little bit.
Well, the Kraft Music Hall, as you say, followed the Woodbury program. Paul Whiteman had the Kraft Music Hall, I think, prior to that time. And the J. Waller Thompson Agency, who handled the Kraft account, suggested that I take the show over. And they put together sort of a package with Bob Burns and John Scott Trotter and his orchestra and Ken Carpenter, the announcer. Ken, also a very good straight man, could play in sketches, could do pretty much anything in addition to the routine commercial announcements.
I was the writer member of the team, the J. Walter Thompson Advertising Agency, that created the Kraft Music Hall radio show starring Paul Whiteman Company. That was in 1934. 2 years later, in 36, when Kraft switched from Pops Whiteman to his old employee, Bing Crosby, and from the East Coast to the West Coast, I got caught in the switches. That's the happenstance that brought me together with Bing. As far as I'm concerned, the 10 years with Crosby that followed were among the most rewarding and friction-free that I've spent in nearly 40 years of broadcasting.
The first orchestra on the show was Jimmy Dorsey for the first year, and then for the following year, John Scott Trotter came on and was on with all of Bing's things from then on.
I had been with the Hal Kemp Orchestra from 1926.
John Scott Trotter,
member of the original band from the University of North Carolina, and I was with the band from 1926 until the 1st of January 1936.
I had known John Scott Trotter in the old days. I met him when he first came up from the University of North Carolina. We had met in New York when he was playing with the Hal Kemp Orchestra at the Manger Hotel, now the Taft Hotel in New York. And they had a luncheon session on Saturdays, and we always took our girls and went for lunch on Saturday to see the hear the Kemp Band. They were a great band.
During the time that I was in the Kemp Band and the style was mine, I made the programs out while we were at the Blackhawk in Chicago. And we had three 15-minute programs a night on WGN. And instead of writing tunes with people like Gus Kahn, Ned Miller, and people like that who were Chicago songwriters, I got things like Date with an Angel and Heart of Stone and Esoteric like that, and made arrangements of somebody else's tune. Then it became standards for the Kemp Band, where I should have been writing, you know, like Isham Jones did. Isham Jones used his band to exploit his tunes.
It was only through John Scott Trotter later, when they were at the Blackhawk in Chicago, developing what he called the tuck of trumpets and the various things, the unison clarinets in the megaphones and the various things that made for charm. It was not only good as an orchestration for playing for dancing, but it was brilliant as a vocal background for Skinny Ennis.
This year, crop of kisses don't seem as sweet to me. This year's crop just misses what kisses used to be. This year's new romance doesn't seem to have a chance, even helped by Mr. Moon above. This year's crop of kisses is not for me, for I'm still wearing last year's love.
Bing had already started the Kraft Music Hall from out here, and he had Jimmy Dorsey's band. Had Jimmy Dorsey's band playing his accompaniments and featured his an hour show, and he'd have him play a couple of band numbers. Jimmy, meanwhile, was recording on his own, and it was a big band business in those days. About the middle of 37, Jimmy went to Bing and said, "Look, I'm losing my identity to a large degree and a great deal of money by just doing this show. Because I have to be back for the show, et cetera, each week, I can't go across the country. I can't make tours across the country. Can't do this, I can't do that. Will you let me off the show?" And Bing said, "Well, of course, you know, what the heck." So about that time, he had been aware, I am now speculating rather than I'm going to give you some history. He had been aware that whoever this was making arrangements in the Kemp Orchestra behind Skinny Ennis was really great. And it just up his alley. He'd been listening to the records, Bing had. And so he asked Johnny Burke, his lyricist and closest friend and associate those days. He says, "Who is this fellow?" He said, "Well, I know him well." He says, "That's John Scott Trotter." He says, "Get him."
Got the date with an angel. Got to meet her at 7. Got a date with an angel. Now I'm on my way to heaven.
With the getting of John Scott Trotter, a new kind of music came to the Kraft Music Hall, and a new kind of guy, and a new kind of amiability among the cast members. John Scott's gourmet instincts. He flew to New Orleans one week. That was when the flight took about 10 hours, just to get some oysters Rockefeller at Antoine's. Naturally, a certain amount of embonpoint went with his fancy eating. These qualities, together with John's rather surprising and eager delivery, added entertainment to the dialogue of the show. He inspired a lot of laughs. One of the biggest was when M.F.K. Fisher was on the show and talking about a cookbook she'd written called How to Cook a Wolf. It specialized in new and fancy ways to dress up leftovers. "What?" asked John naively. "Are leftovers?" Again, referring to Perry Bodkin's remark that Jimmy Dorsey was afraid he was losing his identity on the Kraft show, when Trotter joined us, I think he began to find his. John and I even wound up writing a couple of songs together, "You Are the One" and "Moonlight on a White Picket Fence." The latter was inspired one night driving home up the coast from the opening of the Del Mar racetrack, in which Bing and a lot of movie people had money. One song we did, given a little different arrangement than it originally had, became the Kraft theme song when ASCAP went on strike and we couldn't use "When the Blue of the Night Meets the Gold of the Day." There was a running bit on the show in which Bing, as Dr. Crosby, played headmaster of a hokey school called KMH. Ken Carpenter was sort of the Frank Merriwell of this cockamamie institution. He and Dr. Crosby were into all kinds of idiotic projects. The bit always led into the ringing of the now-defunct NBC chimes. Remember? Bong, bong, bong. The segment was called, with great succinctness, "The Station Break Spot." Well, Carpenter had this fight song for the football team called "Hail KMH." John Scott wrote a tune that I think will stand forever as the outstanding parody of all football fight songs.
I, of course, wrote the words, and I think I'll sing the song right now, a cappella, and in several keys, none of them mine. Here we go. Hail KMH, hail rain and snow, onward to victory, forward we will go, stamping out our adversary like a dauntless dromedary, tramples on its foe forever. Hail KMH, our motto cry, be brave and love each other, wear the old school tie. Like an eagle loose aloft, wave the pomegranate and puce aloft. Ra, 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 ra. With a nanny-nanny and a ha-cha-cha. Hail, bong, bong, bong.
I had never been west of Santa Fe, New Mexico, and we were playing at the Manhattan Room in, at the Statler Hotel, as it was then. And, no, Pennsylvania, as it was then. In May or something, I got a telegram from Larry Crosby. Said, can you be in Hollywood I think it was the 25th of June, and take over the, Jimmy Dorsey is leaving, and you take over the orchestra on the Kraft Music Hall on July the 7th.
I got a phone call at home one noon from Trotter, and he says, I want you to put together a band for me. I said, where are you going to play? I figured it was some ballroom or something he was going to do. He says, I've got the Crosby Show. And I said, the hell you have. And I said, he says, I want you to put together the best band you can find, get the best men, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll be out in a week or two. So I had lined up what I'd considered at the time. The musicianship in those days was not what it is today, but then the requirements were the same as they are today either.
And we're just at that point here now. Bing introduced me on the program and then left for vacation. I was introduced on the program on July the 1st, 1937, and I was the musical director and had John Scott Trotter and his orchestra on beginning July the 8th with Bob Burns, who usually took over in the summertime and had his vacation at some other time. And so my first program with Bing was October the 7th, 1937.
There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
Nostalgic look at radio of yesteryear.
And now it's just about time we were picking up our members and moving along our way. I hope you've enjoyed listening to these songs and the memories that go with them, as much as I've enjoyed bringing them to you. And I'll be keeping my weather eyes peeled, yes, sir, looking for you all to join us the next time we drop around this way for a friendly little get-together. And I hope that'll be real soon, folks. And until then, this is your old friend, Singin' Sam, saying goodbye for now.
Same Time, Same Station is produced for KRLA News and Public Affairs by John Price.
special research by Martin Halpern. And your announcers were John Rygren and Bill Browning. The Chronicle of Bing Crosby's radio career continues next week, narrated by Bing with John Scott Trotter, Ken Carpenter, Carol Carroll, and Perry Botkin.
I know you won't want to miss it, so be sure to be with us next week at this same time, same station.